Thank you, good people. God is good, and all the time. Thank you, God, our good God, our mighty God, our great God, our awesome God, has moved away those mountains which wanted to prevent us from coming here. He has moved them away and he has made a way for us. And now here we are now, coming to praise him, coming to worship him, and coming to thank him for all the good things that he's doing for us. You may sit down. Thank you. Brothers and sisters, bear with me. I'm coming here for the first time. The last time I was here, I was anchoring. You know, anchoring, it's not much, you know. You don't need to prepare. You just come and say this and that, and then you sit down. Now, this time I'm given a noble task. The work of doing the will of God. And I want to thank church leaders for affording me this rare and golden opportunity. Thank you very much. I should have come here earlier, but there was a technical problem. I couldn't come. But I don't see it as a technical problem. I think God did not want me to come then. He wanted me to come now. That is how I see it. Preachers came here and told you more about the book of Daniel. You have seen them. And the first preacher who came here, if my memory serves me well, is a brother Natala. He introduced the book of Daniel. And then otherwise, other preachers came and so on. And I am tempted to say that I think by now you know what the book of Daniel is all about. I assume that you know, because people have been coming here one after the other and telling you about the same book. I think by now you have heard enough of that book. That is my thinking. But having said this, I don't say we are done with the book. We are not done with the book. I think you are still going to learn more about the book. So the last man who came here, I think is Brother Tishet or something like that, if I'm not wrong. I'm coming after him. I have not come to preach. No, I've not come to preach. I cannot preach. There is one person who can preach. And that person is not one of us here. That person is the Holy Spirit. is the one who does the preaching. My fellow brothers there, Brother Jacobs, Brother Natala, our duty is not to preach. Our duty, we are vehicles. Our work, we are in the Department of Transport. That is where we are. So our duty is to transport the Holy Spirit, bring him here, and hand over the reins to him and allow him to do the work. Allow him to minister to the people. We don't do that work. As I say, that is the work of the Holy Spirit. And therefore, I am not going to do the work. I'm not the Holy Spirit. I cannot do that. I'm simply going, but one day I'll try. I promise, one day I'm going to try because I know how he does it. When you preach, but when the Holy Spirit preaches through us, you'll hear people saying, oh, that man or that woman is anointed. Not knowing what anointed means. Now, to be anointed is to be accompanied by the Holy Spirit and then allowing him to do the work. He's the one who the other name for him is anointed. That is, you know, our Lord Jesus Christ could not start his work before he was accompanied by the Holy Spirit. You remember, before he started his work, when he was baptized in the River Jordan by John the Baptist, the heavens opened and the Holy Spirit came in the form of a dove, set on him, gave him power to do the work of God. So you cannot preach unless you are accompanied by the Holy Spirit. Today, our topic for today is the things we learn. Yeah, open your phones and so on, because as I said, I have nothing to show on the screen. Yeah, open your Bibles. Those who have Bibles, do that. Our topic for today is the things we learn from the book of Daniel. Remember, Daniel is the author of this book. And we're going to learn more from Daniel. There is something Daniel is telling us. And what is telling us, we'll hear it today. The things we learn from the book of Daniel. I have picked up about six things. Number one, gifts of the Holy Spirit. Number two, obedience to God. Number three, fearlessness. Number four, prayer. These are positive things. And now I'm coming to the negative things. Number five, it's a jealousy and hatred. These two go together. Jealousy and hatred. And the last one is pride. So I've chosen only six things. I'm going to talk about these six. I'm not saying these are the only things we get from the book of Daniel. I'm not saying that. I'm saying these are the things I have picked up for today. Maybe tomorrow you'll hear about more of them. I don't know, but it won't be me tomorrow. Gifts of the Holy Spirit. Open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 to 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 to 11. And it says, verse 7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. Verse 8, for to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another, the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healings by the same Spirit. Well, verse 10, to another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. And to another, interpretation of tongues. These are the gifts of the Holy Spirit. The other time I was here, I said, we call them charisma. And I said, the word charisma is a Greek word, which means that the gifts of the Holy Spirit are given to people. It means gifts of the Holy Spirit are given to people. So these are the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now the question is, what have these gifts to do with the book of Daniel? That is the question. Remember, gifts are given. You cannot ask for a gift from God. Gifts are given, and they are given free of charge. They are given gratis. You don't ask for them. Now, one Sunday, I was in one church, and there was this man of God, this associate pastor, who was doing the impossible. He was trying to teach people how to speak in tongues. You cannot do that. You cannot teach anybody to speak in tongues. You cannot teach anybody to heal the sick. You cannot teach anybody to work out miracles. You cannot. That is the work of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit decides what to give you. He can give this one a gift of healing. He can give that one faith. He can, and so on. He decides whom to give and what to give. You don't ask him. He gives these things on his own accord, on his own free will. And we have no role to play there. Now, this poor man, little knowledge as he had, there he was, trying to do the work of the Holy Spirit. And I just said, oh, God help me. God help me. We are in trouble here. We are in trouble here. Help us out here. So as I say, gifts are given. Yeah. Now, I'm talking about these gifts. I've picked up gifts of the Holy Spirit because I know that they are related to the book of Daniel. I know they are related. They are not irrelevant. No, they are related to the book of Daniel. Now, Daniel had a gift from the Holy Spirit. Remember, King Nebuchadnezzar had all types of wise men, the magicians, the astrologers, the sorcerers, the magistrates, the administrators, all kinds of wise men. He had them. He had a dream, but none of those wise men could know and interpret the dream. Now, why? Because they did not have the gift of knowing and interpreting dreams. They did not have that gift. And unfortunately, they could not learn it anywhere, unfortunately. Because we don't learn these things. We're given these things. So God did not give them this gift. Daniel was the only person whom God had given the gift of knowing and interpreting dreams. Now, he was the only one who could do that. And indeed, he went to King Nebuchadnezzar, told him his dream, and interpreted it. Now, Daniel, he's saying to us now, he's saying, know that each one of you has a gift. God has given each one of you a gift. There is no one sitting here who is without a gift. But our gifts are different. I know my gifts. I have two of them. I have two gifts. I know them. So if you don't know your gift, know that you have it. Know that God has given you. Yeah. And it is your duty now to discover your gift and use it. Daniel discovered his gift and used it. There he was telling and interpreting the king's dream. Now, you have a gift. Discover it and make, if you don't know it, ask God to tell you what your gift is. So this is what Daniel is telling us here, that all of you sitting here, you have got different gifts. If your gift is the gift of healing, for goodness sake, go to the sick and start praying for them, and God will heal them. If your gift is praying in tongues, please do so as we pray. All of us, as we pray, start praying. And as you are praying, somewhere you will be lost in the prayer. And unconsciously, not even aware, and start speaking in tongues. That is if God has given you that gift. And if you have discovered it, please, make use of, don't just pray like me and say, God, we thank you all the time. God, we thank you for what you have done for us. You know, God, no, no, no. You have the gift of speaking in or praying in tongues. So use it. Pray in tongues. Now, you have the gift of healing. Don't just sit down and say, I am not sick. So why should I worry about other people? I am not sick. No, God has given you that gift to use it to the benefit of others. Use it and let others benefit from it. Don't sit with it. It is not yours. It is not your gift. The gift comes from God, and God wants you to use it. And please do so. Use it. This is what Daniel is telling us. You are given a gift. Make use of your gift to the benefit of others. I know my gift, but I won't tell you. You'll see me one day. You'll see me, and you'll come to me and tell me, I have seen your gift. I'll come here and display it. Do you understand? I'll come here. It is not my gift. God has given me to use it. I'll come here, display it, and you'll see that I have that gift. So please, Daniel says, emulate me. He says, I have a gift of knowing and interpreting dreams. And so I have used that gift. I have told King Nebuchadnezzar his gift, and I have interpreted it. So do likewise. That is the first thing. Now, the second thing is obedience to God. Obedience to God. I say I've picked up six things from the book of Daniel. Obedience to God. Now, Daniel was obedient to his God, to the living God. He knew that by worshiping his God, he was putting his life in danger, because there was a decree, there was a royal decree that said no one must worship any other God or any other person except the king. And it was said that whoever can be found worshiping any other thing or any other God or any other person, that person should be thrown in a den of lions. Daniel knew that. And Daniel, unfortunately for the king, unfortunately, Daniel was not prepared to obey his instruction. He was not prepared to obey his decree. Now, Daniel is saying to you now that when you worship your God, there should be no thing that is preventing you from doing that. Whether it is the king, whether it is what, nobody must stop you from worshiping your God. Daniel did not stop worshiping his God. The Bible says he prayed three times a day, and knowing very well that he was putting his life in danger. When you worship God, don't worry about your life. Nothing will touch you. Nothing will harm you. Because when you do God's will, when you walk with God, when you sleep with God, when you eat with God, now God will also be with you, and God will protect you. People can try whatever, they will not touch you. They will not harm you. Now, if you are at your workplace and you feel like praying, do so. Don't be afraid of your boss, that your boss will be bought by your prayer, and therefore he will stop liking you. Don't be bothered by that. Pray and stick to a schedule. If your schedule is you pray 2 times a day, do so. Pray 2 times a day. That is your schedule. If your schedule says pray 4 times a day, do so. Now, my schedule is, this one I can tell you. I refuse to tell you others, but this one I'm brave to tell you. My schedule is that no matter what. Say no matter what. No matter what. I pray at 12:00 midnight. That is my schedule. I pray at 12:00 midnight. And I can tell you without fear that God is answering my prayers. It doesn't matter where I am. Even if I visit you, you must know that at 12 I'm going to wake up. You must not say I'm a witch when I wake up, because I won't tell you that I'm waking up. I'll just wake up and start praying. Now, there was this man. There was a conflict between him and his wife. I just want to show how God answered prayers. A conflict between him and his wife. And his wife came to me and told me about the conflict. And she said to me that it is now 6 months that this man is no longer sleeping in our bedroom. That this man is sleeping in the lounge on a couch. He's sleeping there. And 6 months. And I didn't say to her, why did you wait so long? Why couldn't you come to me early? I did not say that. I just said, look, I am going to pray at 12:00. That man will come back. Indeed, I said, give me a week. I'll be praying every night at 12:00 for the man to come back to his place. Your man, your husband, is at the wrong place. That is the place of everybody. That is the place of visitors. We sit in the lounge and talk there. So he can't make that a sleeping room. That's not a sleeping room. He must come back and sleep in his room. Give me a week. And she gave me a week. I prayed. And the following week she phoned me. She said, yo. She just said, yo. Then I knew. That everything has been sorted out. And the man was back in his room. So Daniel is saying to us, don't say, God does not answer. And I know you also say that. You say, God does not answer your prayers. You say, it is because yours, I'm telling you now, yours is not a sincere, earnest, and fervent prayer. Yours is not a sincere, earnest, and fervent prayer. Sometimes you talk and you think you are praying. You must pray. When you pray, you must pray. You understand? When you pray, you must pray. Daniel was praying 3 times a day. And he would never make a mistake and skip even one day. He held to that. He held to that. So when you have given yourself a schedule, please stick to it. Don't break. Stick to it. And you will see. You will see a miracle happening. God will answer your prayer. God will answer your prayer. So he says, be obedient. The problem is, we think we are obedient to God. And we know that we are not obedient. You get my point? You know that we are not obedient. You know that you are still doing other things. You are still doing other things. And then you say, I'm obedient. Daniel was obedient in the true sense of the word. He was obedient. I'm telling you now here, be obedient to God and you will see miracles happening. I'm telling you, you will see miracles happening. Some of us have seen those miracles. I've seen a number of them. In actual fact, I was not supposed to be here now. I was supposed to have been long buried. Have been long buried, but because I kept on praying, and because that was a sincere, earnest, and fervent prayer, God delivered me from my enemies. Now, you know that Daniel was thrown in the den of lions, but because he was obedient to God, but because he kept on praying. He prayed without ceasing, and he sincerely did that. Because of that, he knew that he would be thrown in that den of lions. He knew. But Daniel was not afraid, because now he knew that his God would deliver him. And indeed, he was thrown in that den of lions. And God came and said, this cannot happen to my child. My child is not going to be killed by this ruthless king. No, it's not going to happen. God came and shut the mouths of the lions. God came and shut the mouth of the lions. And Daniel was delivered. Daniel was saved. The same applies to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were obedient to God. They refused to worship the idol, the statue of King Nebuchadnezzar. They refused. They said, no, we will go on worshiping our God no matter what. We will go, the king can do what he wants to do, but that won't deter us. We will go on worshiping our God. And they went on worshiping their God. And now, they knew what was going to happen. The king threw them into that fiery furnace, But God came and delivered them. Daniel is saying to us, now when you have faith in God, when you walk with God, when you are in right standing with God, Daniel says to us, don't be afraid. God will deliver you. Don't be afraid. God will be with you. Now, you must just do the simple thing. The simple thing, stick to your prayer schedule. Stick to it and pray sincerely so God will come and rescue you. God will come and deliver you. Who can say here now that he is obedient to God? Can you be so brave? Can you be so honest and say that you are obedient to God? Can you say that? If you can't say that, go and revise your life. Go and revise your life. There's something wrong with your life. Go and correct yourself. There's something wrong with you. Go and then stick to what you are supposed to do. Pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Pray for whatever time you have set for yourself. God will be with you. God will protect you. Nothing can touch you. Nothing can touch you. And then the other thing is fearlessness. Fearlessness. Sometimes, you know, we fear. Now, you say, what will the people say? What will the people say when, you know, you are at your workplace and you want to pray at lunchtime, but then you say, what will people say when they see me during every lunchtime carrying a small Bible, sitting in a corner and praying and worshiping my God? What will people say? In other words, you are afraid of people. You are afraid of what people will say about you. Don't be fearless. When it comes to the question of praying, be fearless. Pray to your satisfaction. Pray. Don't look at other people. The problem is we want to please people and not God. So don't please people, but please God. Sometimes you are afraid of praying because you know that your boss is an unbeliever. He's an unbeliever, and therefore he won't like to see that in his office. You are afraid of him. And because you don't want to lose your job, you are afraid to worship your God. You are trying to put yourself on the same side. Daniel says, "Don't do that. Don't fear. Don't be afraid. Now worship your God." That boss, that man who is an unbeliever, that man will not fire you. He will not fire you because God will protect you. God will be with you. So be fearless. Be fearless. Don't be afraid of anybody. The other thing is, all right, then there is a okay, the negative ones. Then there is pride. Now, King Nebuchadnezzar was a powerful king. He was a mighty king. But you see what happens, unfortunately, with the people of power. Unfortunately, when you see you are mighty, when you see you are powerful, and everybody is afraid of you, when you see you are occupying a position of authority, you know, the dangerous thing is this, is that now you want to show that. You want to show that you are the boss. You want to show that you are the king. In other words, you have a centralized, pride, a centralized pride. Yeah, you have pride. And that is why now you'll do whatever you do. So King Nebuchadnezzar was full of that. He was full of that because he was a king. And he knew that as a king, he had all the power to discipline all those who did not obey him. He knew that. And he had a centralized type of what's name. Now, don't fear. So Daniel says, don't fear those who are in power. Don't fear. Now, sometimes, you know, there are those people who have, you know, accomplished a lot. Those people who are rich, the rich people, for instance. They go about with pride. They go about with pride because they know everybody is afraid of him because he is Mr. Money. It's the Mr. Money. Everybody is afraid of him. So he goes about with this pride. He goes about boasting, you know, boasting. Somebody was telling me that he was married to a man. They have divorced. That that man was always given tenders. You know, this tender system. People like tenders because with tenders, you get a lot of money. With tenders, you get millions. You get millions. Now, because this boy, this man was tendering, he was boasting. He had this, this pride. And people are afraid of those who have money. They're afraid of them because he can do anything with you, buy a lawyer, and then get rid of you. So they're afraid of them. So this man was like that. But you know what? What does God say? Aunt Philia, are you here? What did we teach our Sunday school children? Humble yourself by the side of the Lord. He shall lift you up. You are never in a Sunday school. How did you grow up? You see what? But it's not your fault. It is the fault of your parents. It's not your fault. Don't blame yourself. It is the fault of your parents. You would have gone there. You would have gone there, isn't it? I know you. You would have gone there. Had your parents given you a chance, you would have done so, isn't it? Yeah. So Daniel says, humble yourself at the side of the Lord. He shall lift you up. Did I tell you? I've got a timekeeper here. Did I tell you? I don't use the what you call the phone to see time. My timekeeper is here. And he says to me, Nathaniel, it's time up. I've not finished my story, but he says it is time up, and I agree. I oblige. I am an obedient man.